Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to your place. This is Starla. I'm Wild Bill's wife, and I'm going to be filling in for Joy for the next few weeks. We appreciate you all being here, and remember, if you're listening by phone, you want to join the conversation, just press 1. And now here's our host, Wild Bill.
Well, hello, everybody. I'm coming to you from Wisconsin, and it's a little bit chilly up here compared to where I am usually at home, That's part of what I do, traveling all over the country. They wait till wintertime and sent me up to North Dakota the other day. And I hope everyone enjoyed that song. The reason I picked that is because we're going to have a guest speaker tonight, Blog Talk Mama, also known as Sister Bobby Lively. And this is one person I know that has been through storms, has been through rain, has been through pain, has been through joy, has been through sorrow, but one thing has always been constant in her life, and that she's going to go with Jesus all the way. And she's not just someone who I love very, very much, but she's also someone who's been a fantastic example to me. She's taught me God's word. She's taught me to love and appreciate the things of God. And more than that, she's been a shining light and example to watch in what it takes to have a relationship to live for God. And even more than that, I have the special privilege of knowing that she's been praying for me my entire life. And for that time in my life where I was running from God, I know that it was the love and prayers of Blog Talk Mama that kept me going. So with no further ado, we're going to go ahead and put her on the air and let her share whatever it is that she wants to share with us today. Are you there, Blog Talk Mama?
I am here. Well, Richie, I'll send you a check in the mail for that wonderful introduction. No, I'm just playing. I do appreciate those. Those are very, very kind words. No one could ask for a son any better than you. I love you, and you've been just such a security to me. And I love you very, very much. I appreciate your walk with the Lord. And Sister Starla, that started off, I tell you, she could just jump in and do whatever she's called on to do. I love her very much. I love my family and my church family here. Pastor Jean Holland is my pastor, as you know, and she is the most outstanding human being as a leader I've ever met in my life. And this is a testimony. I guess I'm starting at the right now, and I'll go back in a moment. But I'm so appreciative of God to let me be in a place where I'm so cared for. When the Lord brought me here, it's just unbelievable, because the families now are scattered here and there and everywhere, and everybody's having to do whatever they have to do to make a living and keep things together. But I've been placed here, and I'm watched over and prayed for and nurtured, and it's just beautiful. And I do appreciate the teaching that Sister Holland, Pastor Holland, has given me, not only by example, but we have here minister's classes, and she brings us together in the most positive atmosphere, and without, you know, ripping you up one side and down the other, she very professionally, spiritually, godly, brings the Word of God to us and keeps us on track so that we aren't, you know, there's just something about water will wear away rock, and the influences of the world and those things that come against us from day to day in our trials and our heartaches and circumstances. If you don't have a leader or somebody that you can look to, then we are sheep. That's what the Bible calls us. And someone said sheep can't see but 10 feet in front of them. So I do appreciate God for bringing me here and for the leadership and for the church body that has been so good to me and watched over me. And they just encouraged me so much and pray for me, and I love them very much. I love my family. I could tell you the rest of the program how many times that Rhonda Joy Bars Johnny has pulled me out of all kinds of dilemmas. I have ADD. I didn't know what to call it. I think some people just thought I was, I don't know what they thought, we won't go there, but I would be getting ready to teach a class or sing at a funeral or just all these different circumstances, and my mind would go so blank. Now, maybe you think, well, everybody does that, but I mean, I could get an award for it. And she'd be just right there with the scripture or whatever I needed for me right back on track. And she always looked so, not condescending, you know, but just sort of amused at some of the dilemmas we got into. So I love her and love my grandchildren. And talking about my life, I was so blessed and impressed. My brother Lee's testimony a few weeks ago, it was wonderful. And I think of people like him and people that are other people that give their testimonies of how, you know, they were almost a star. They could have gone, you know, made some professional in some area, and they laid that aside and came to serve God. And I thought, well, I sure don't fit in that category. I was going down for the last time. I mean, I felt like I was in a horrible pit, and there was no way out when I surrendered my heart to God. But neither am I the other end of it, where people can say, you know, I murdered someone, went to prison for 400 years, you know, and God brought me out of that, which there is literal a testimony like that. He was at one of the prison services that we went to. He would had been, I can't recall his name, but it was a 400-year sentence, and God moved and brought that man out of prison. So God can do anything but fail. And looking back in my life, the earliest memories that I have as a child were situations when I was just not even 5 or 6 years old. There was a tremendous flood in Arkansas. Anybody that listens to Johnny Cash's old songs, when he sang How High Is the Water Mama, 3 foot high and rising, he's talking about that terrible flood in Dice, Arkansas, in that area. And I can recall them bringing the boat to the house, and we were in a boat, the Arkansas River overflowed, coming back with mud all over everything. And then from there, my dad going to Boonville Sanatorium with tuberculosis, my mother trying to work during World War II in an ammunition plant. But in that series of memories, mother, there was a little lady named Makud, Mrs. Makud, very tiny little petite lady, and she had a family, and her husband had passed away. So mother had let her come and live with us to take care of my brother and myself. And I can look back and remember how she would take her hair down, and it would be almost to the floor as she'd comb her hair, and how she would pray, had her gentle prayer life. And so all the way back at the beginning, even though there was some horrible memories, horrible memories, there was perversion in our family, as there is in so many, there were a lot of really bad things. But God, there's a time for everything, and there's a season, and he placed people all along the way. And with the newborn baby is the most defenseless and helpless of all creation. And God would not let a little baby be born with all of the horrible things that can happen to that child if he did not have a plan and a purpose of redemption. If I titled my testimony, it would be Redeemed. I've been redeemed. I have had all of the things that sin would bring to me and wrap around me in chains, broken off of me, redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Just to know the Lamb of God and to know that he loved me and that he was going to take every situation in my life, place it before me, and give me a choice. I could either give it to him and allow him to fix it and allow him to work it into my testimony to glorify him, or I could take it and go the other way. There's two choices, the straight and the narrow that leads to God and the broad way that leads to destruction. Unfortunately, it was a long time before I actually chose the correct way. My mom and dad moved to Detroit, Michigan, and at that point we lived in a beautiful home, but it was in a low-rent area. And there were a lot of street gangs. There was the 2nd Street Gang, the 3rd Street Gang, the Woodward Street Gang, all these different gangs. And you got into a gang for protection, not necessarily to be. I mean, if people knew you were a part of a gang, you were sort of left alone. And during that time, there were a lot of things that happened that were very unpleasant. And so my mother had rented out some of the rooms to her house, and she rented out one to a Pentecostal preacher. And he and his family witnessed to her about a school in St. Louis. So my mom sent me there, and it was really horrible. It was really horrible. But I wouldn't take anything for it, and I thank God for it when any time I look back, because that's where I learned the Word of God. The Word of God is your anchor. The Word of God is everything you will need. It through that you have faith. Through that you have direction. Again, one of my favorite stories about C.S. Lewis is he said, you can go out and you can experience the ocean. I mean, there's nothing to me more exciting than to stand on the beach and see and feel the ocean. It is just wonderful. But I'm not going to get in a boat and try to go across the ocean with just feelings. I'm going to have a lot more than that. And I'm not going to go through this journey of eternity where I'm going to be forever and ever without taking the Word of God, which is my roadmap, and finding out exactly what it takes to be saved, what it takes to please God and be victorious in this life. It's not to divide. Some people say, well, there's so many denominations, and they all interpret the Word of God differently, and it divides people, and it puts God in this box or that box. That is so silly. The Word of God is alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. It's a discerner between the thought and the intent of our heart. It's the most awesome thing in the world when you take it and allow it to do what God intends for it to do in your life, to reveal to you His plan and His purpose. There's a song that Timothy Spell sings it. He didn't write it. A friend of his wrote it. But I think it's one of the most beautiful thoughts that I could put into my testimony that has blessed me. It's only been out, I guess, about 10 years. But it says, there's been times when my prayers didn't even reach the ceiling of the room where I knelt to pray. And a voice inside kept asking me, did I think God was really even listening to anything that I had to say? But I just kept right on praying and holding on by faith, knowing my God is always in control. And I waited like a rosebud in the garden, for only God can unfold a rose. And when God unfolds the rose, He always gets it right. When the petals are in place, oh, it's such a beautiful sight. God knows when to hold on and the perfect time to let go. So let God have His way and watch God unfold the rose. And looking back through my life, especially before I came to God, how many times God put me in a place where I could learn His Word. He knew what He was going to do in my life if I would live for Him. And only He can make it come to pass and come to fruition. He knew that. But still, I chose so many times to go the way of my way, just my stubborn way. And at 16, Bill, I met your dad, tall and handsome, and 17 years old. We had about as much sense as there was just, that's absurd to think that we were ready to be married and to have a home. And but anyway, he was just precious, and we just couldn't get along because we were just both spoiled brats or headstrong or whatever. And the year you were born, we were divorced, and he went his way, I went my way. And it's interesting that one day I came home after I had started to a denominational church, and the phone rang. I hadn't heard from him for a long time. And he said, I want to see my son. And I didn't want to hear that. I didn't want any of them to try to take you or have visitation or anything like that. I really did not want that to happen. So we talked for a long time, and he said, well, I'll call you back tomorrow. Well, he didn't call, and I thought, well, good. You know, that's better. And so that night the phone rang, and his mother called and said that he had gone to work that morning and there'd been a cave-in and he was injured, and then 11 days later he passed away. But because that he had made that phone call, that one phone call, legally, that made you able to receive an amount of money for up until you were out of school, which really, really helped us. And so God was moving again, totally behind the scenes. God moved. And do you have anything you want to share about anything like that? About that?
Well, I was just born then, so I don't know a whole lot about it.
Oh, you do, Richie. You knew. No, I'm just playing. Joy Bells, my daughter, was born after I married Jim. And we it was an unusual time in my life. The doctors gave me a medication after she was born that I was allergic to, and highly allergic to. It took 2 years of medicine and therapies and things that, and from that I became a prescription addict. And the combination of that and just so many other pressures on a young couple, it was devastating. And then occasionally I would try to go to church, different churches I'd be invited, and I'd go, and that didn't work. And then Jim was coming home one night and accidentally hit a pedestrian and killed him. And it just seemed like things were closing in on us, that the pressures were so unbelievably heavy on us. And a friend came into my life, Joyce Trimble. I guess she minds me using her name. But she, you talk about the Lord bringing someone to me. But this young lady, she had been a beauty contestant. She's very, very, very pretty, very intelligent. And she had sold out 100% to God and had a tremendous burden for souls, loved the Word of God, loved to go on visitation, go out and visit hospitals. And she would come to my house, and she really had a burden for us. And she would bring some little treat, and little by little, she was the influence and the example that I needed personally, that God knew I needed, to make me begin to really serve Him with all of my heart and my soul and my might. And about that time, your grandfather died, and we moved to a farm. And that was for sure the hand of God. And the lady that I mentioned a while ago that had witnessed to me was led into baptism in Jesus' name. We'd received the Holy Ghost in the church that we were in. And I might mention, she loved to pray. And we went to church one night before we moved to the farm. And after everybody left, we just kept on praying. And we just kept on praying and kept on praying. And I just didn't know that God could do the things that He began to do in my life. The anointing began to destroy all the yoke that Satan had on my life. So when we went to the farm, I wasn't going to be satisfied with any church that didn't teach and preach Acts 2:38. I knew that that's what the Word of God said. It wasn't what somebody necessarily said. I knew that that's what Peter preached. And we were out on the... we had this big porch, or it seemed big at the time, at the farm, and I was still debating. It was just before I went ahead and went and started to the church that was apostolic, and I was asking the Lord, I said, would you just send me somebody that I can just absolutely believe, someone I'll have no problem believing exactly what they say about the plan of salvation. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me to go get the Bible, and the Lord impressed on me, well, how about Peter? Would that be a good enough preacher for me to believe? And I said, well, yeah. And it was right there. You know, that's what he preached, to repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Well, I guess God gave me the Holy Ghost on credit, because I'd already received that. But we began our journey as a family. We began to look for the church, and about that time, God had a plan for us to meet Dr. John Scheel in BB, Arkansas. And then the Lord began to move so that we could go there, and he began a Christian school, and it was my privilege to work in that school and for y'all to go there. I know as children you probably don't see it the same perspective that I did, but it was awesome. Dr. Scheel could teach the Bible like no one I had ever heard in my life. No one on the radio, no one anywhere. I mean, he made the Word of God come alive. And then the move and the anointing of the Spirit of God was just, it was so real and rich. And I'd pick you and Rhonda up from school, and we'd go by the church. That was the first job we took, was to clean the church. And we just loved it. And we enjoyed being a part. Everything that we did there was it was everyone in the church enjoyed being in that church. Now, in any church, in any group of people, there are people that are the core group and there's people that are not. But I loved everyone and learned great things. Sister Mary Hannah was one of the greatest influences in my life. She would pray with me and teach me how to keep from letting things overwhelm me. She would show me that just because I thought something had to be a certain way, that might be the very test that God was putting me through, to wait to see how, if I could be humble, which was rare. But I did pretty good sometimes. But she used to say, "You're right, Sister Lively, but your spirit is a little bit something we got to work on." And God is still working on that, and I thank God for mercy and grace. And about that time, my husband, Jim, your dad, was transferred to Tennessee with his company, and we moved up there and worked in a Christian school. We wound up going to a large United Pentecostal church. You went in the Army, and we stayed there for years. My husband, we had a business also besides that. And God continued to work in our life and bless us and teach us. There were great ministries that were available to me there. We did the Tennessee Prison for Women for 8 years. We were allowed to go there, and tremendous results from that. Women baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. And I think they had one of the greatest percentages of people that never came back to prison. Usually they say they come back, but after they'd been through our services, they did not return to prison. And there were other ministries within the church. I've always loved working with children, and we had a large outreach there, bus ministry. And then the Lord worked in... as you know, your dad and I, there were some situations there. And so I moved. Actually, I went to the Arctic on three different trips as a missionary with Reverend Linda Kaiser. And after one of the trips, I was very, very, very sick. Actually, the first one, we came just to Mississippi. And that's where the Lord made me a perfect place to live, and with so many people that would love me. And we've had miracles all along our way. When we moved to the farm, I don't know if you can remember, but we took so much medication. I carried in a big paper bag like they used to get at the grocery store. Now we all use plastic, but I carried all of our medications, everything that we were allergic to. It was unbelievable. And little by little, as we lived on that farm and we learned to enjoy nature and to live for God and to study His Word, every one of our allergies, every sickness that we had was totally healed. And then we had another miracle where Rhonda was, her nose was broken at school. She was going one way and the other one, and they came around the corner of a building and it broke her nose. And God, that was really how we found out about Dr. Shield, because they prayed, helped us pray, and then God gave her a miracle. She didn't even have to have plastic surgery or anything. It was just a miracle. God healed her. Now, I need to let y'all say something.
I just wanted to mention during the time that we were talking about when you met Doris Trimble in Arkansas, that I remember, I mean, you talked about, you know, one service where, you know, y'all say that it was praying, but I mean, there were several services I can remember going to sleep underneath the church people, because y'all would be praying until everybody else had left. And I mean, it's not just a one time thing, it's several times it happened. And then I can remember us going out to eat afterwards and maybe going to the DQ Dairy Queen or Herb's Dairy Queen, and we'd be there till they run us off. They're closing the doors. And I can remember that was sometimes an argument because there was no cell phone then. And, you know, Dad would be trying to call to check in to see how we were doing. And, you know, there was no way to make contact with us because we weren't home. And that also in that park where when you moved to Tennessee, where we went to the farm, when you made the move to Tennessee, it seemed like during that time that that was where everything became more stable. Did it seem that way to you also?
Well, I wouldn't. I don't know. I don't really. It's again. It's that everything is a time and a season. I know that I don't feel like I could have ever made it through the time in Tennessee if I had not had the foundation that I learned at BB, staying in the Word of God and really knowing exactly what the Word of God said. And Brother Shill, I guess I'll not use his name, but he didn't just teach a scripture here and there or a doctrine here and there. He taught the entire Word of God. I'll never forget him teaching about the tabernacle in the Old Testament. And that's the, one of the greatest revelations. It makes everything else make sense. And people that don't pull that into their knowledge of what God is doing and what God is saying in His Word, they don't have that. It just all makes sense. It's the continuity of it, how it all comes together. That Christ is in every part of the tabernacle. Everything that God told the Israelites, every feast day they had, every ceremony they had, everything tells you about Jesus Christ and redemption. And it's just beautiful. Everything I learned there. Then when I went to Nashville, there was, I don't know, it was just a very different time for me. You were in the service, right?
When y'all moved to Tennessee, I stayed in Arkansas to finish Christian school at Beaverton. I stayed with Brother Till. So, I kind of missed out on the first part of when y'all moved up there. One of the things about BB I thought was very interesting, when we were in the denominational church, when we first started going there, your uncle was my pastor. So, I had him and his wife kind of lean on and everything, and I remember your relationship with Sister Joyce, that she taught us, first, me and my sister, personal Bible studies at home, so that whenever they had any kind of contest, I always won.
Yeah.
I mean, for my age group, I remember just before we left that church, I had won a Bible, and we went back to get it, and we couldn't find it. Somehow or another, it became misplaced. And I can also remember in Sunday school class one day they asked a question. I said the answer was Jesus. They said, no, the answer is God. I said, well, it's the same thing. Because they were using the exact same scriptures. And so I had always understood as a young person that there was only one God. I didn't have a problem with that at all because that's what the Bible said. It blows my mind when people think anything different. But I remember the first Sunday we went to church in BB. And we went to Sunday school, and they were having everybody quote scripture. And so they were going to give me an easy one, and they said, all right, we're going to let you do Acts 2:38. Well, that wasn't one of the scriptures that I had ever had to memorize before. And they just looked at me like they just couldn't believe that I didn't know that scripture, but I knew the Beatitudes, the Lord's Prayer, and, where Jesus was baptized, and the scriptures that this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And I knew a lot of scripture, but that was not one that was on my study list. And so I felt, for the first time ever, I felt really stupid, when it came to God's Word. Also, the first time I went there, I didn't know there was times where I was scared to death. And then there were times where I was really tickled at some of the things that I could see. And so, because it was so different than anything I had ever been involved with before, what I loved about BB was that the whole structure was set up on the principle of worship. And that was something that, I wasn't used to. I think someone's got their hand up there, and I think Carla's turned her microphone on. The last four numbers, 3058. Do you have a comment or question for Lively?
It's me, Joy, sitting and listening to Mama, especially when she was talking about BB. I wanted to be ready to say goodbye at the right moment. I'm enjoying listening to everything. I don't really have a specific comment, but Mama, I will say to you, I think I have
I hold Brother Shill in very high regard, and I think that that was a special time. There was some darkness to it. But, like you said, they had a community. It was really such a family kind of thing, and everybody was 100% sold out. And not only did he, you know, he cared about the kids to make the Christian school, and also that trip that we took to Florida, that was amazing. I have a lot of really good memories, and that's where I found Renee. So, lifetime friendship, that's worth something. I do have a story kind of along the same line as what you said, Wild Bill. The very first time we came, Sister Mary was my first Sunday school teacher that first time, and she said, you're supposed to have been reading your Bible at home, and she asked me if I'd been reading my Bible at home, and I said, yeah, and that was during that time that we had those very regular devotions with Mama, and she said, so how many chapters have you read? And I said, I don't know, like 200 or something like that. And she looked at me like, what a big liar I was, because they were, it was how many chapters you'd read in the book of Acts. It didn't even have 200 chapters. She tried to just let it pass that I was such a huge liar. And I felt so embarrassed.
Well, you were probably thinking of verses and however.
Well, I didn't even know that they were studying Acts, and I think, you know, I was thinking, my Lord, with all the songs and all the wisdom, I don't know how many chapters, but a lot.
Do y'all remember when we went back, we visited there, and then we went back to the farm, and we got made a tambourine out of a pie plate. We were so just excited about their courses and their songs, and
yeah. We
added that to our little church service. And
I love that whole concept of everybody going up on the stage or whatever you call that, the song service, and they just kept going until the glory came down.
That's right. Just up on the platform. That was exciting. All along in my life, that was, you know, when we lived on the farm, we had the little church that we started. And it seemed like there's been different times like that where we wouldn't have a church to go to, so we'd sort of start a church or have church at home. And we had, those were good times. Those were excellent times.
Very, very precious times. But I do love Stevie in turn, because I remember, like, a couple of places that we tried. I won't name them, but there was just something so different about Stevie in the complete sincerity of it. And you had such a love for the Word of God. That was the one thing that you really, really had. And they had that.
They really knew how. And there was such a dedication. Sister Shiel just, it was 100%. They were just all, it was just wonderful. There were so many. And our faith had begun to grow. Even before we went there, I remember one time we had a devotion before you got on the school bus. And it was about, at that time, you were highly allergic to dairy products. And so we talked about healing that morning and about how God healed. And so you said, well, pray for me. And so we had prayers because that. And you said, well, give me some milk money. And I said, you can't drink milk. And you said, yes, I can. The Lord healed me. And I said, no, he didn't.
I mean, but it really was true.
It really was true.
And Brother Shill, it's such a funny memory. I'm sure I'm the only person who remembers it, but when we went there for when my nose was the story you already shared about my nose, but you know how everybody got in line to be prayed for, and he said, what are you here for? And I said, to be healed. And then he got in the microphone and said, this is fake. This is, you didn't give me what the problem was, this is, she was in line to be healed. And then I was.
And you really do have a lot of faith. That test I went through in Tennessee that lasted so long, I was just in intense pain, and I was on a sofa in the living room, and I was just lying there hurting. And you eased down the hall, and your little hand came over, and you started praying for me, and it was no time till I was through that trial, and you were praying for me. Really got faith, and God, and faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. I really praise God, and the more I through years that I've studied about the Wycliffe and Luther and different ones that have just so done so much that we can have the Word of God. And it's so easy to read books about the Word of God, talk about the Word of God, you know, but not really get into the Word of God. At that point, I'd like to share something with you that I've been sick a little bit lately, and different things have came about. They said I had a hole in my heart, which I found out almost everybody does, so I don't feel real special about that. But everyone's really been praying about the carotid artery and different other things, staining and just problems that I've had. And I felt the Lord every time anyone prays. I totally appreciate anyone praying for me. But there's always that time, that special time where it just seems like God comes on the scene and you get something just really special from Him. And so today they'd worked me in for an appointment and with a cardiologist, and I was trying to hurry around and do a lot of phone calls and different things were happening, and the Spirit of the Lord kept saying, be sure and read my word. And I mean, it was very, very strong. I said, Lord, I know I'm hearing you, and I'm hurrying, you know. But I felt like it wasn't for me to go ahead and just, I don't know, just let that. It was a very sweet, wonderful presence of God. So I sat down and I held the Bible and I said, okay, you know, where should I read? And I felt a scripture and I opened it up, and when I did, it was like the wind, which there was no wind, but I mean, you know, the page just opened up. And I began to read in Psalms 118, and the Lord said, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And I had been wrestling with this because I really did not have confidence. I did feel like they could make mistakes, and well, which is obvious. And But then Wild Bill, it's hard to call you that, but you called, and when you were talking to me, I realized what God was telling me was not to be afraid, not to have my confidence in whether they could do it right or wrong, but to really trust that whichever way and whatever I did, that God wasn't going to just drop me. He was going to be with me. And then I kept reading. I read the whole Psalms 118, and when I got down to 14, it says, the Lord is my strength and my song, and it's become my salvation. And God's given me that scripture at one other time in my life when I needed a miracle, and I didn't know where it was, or, you know, I hadn't thought of it. But then when I got down to verse 17, it says, I shall not die but live and declare. Woo, hallelujah. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. And that's when the Spirit of God just took all of the anxiety, and I just knew that whatever, I was going to get to work for the Lord, and that everything was just going to be all right. And the Word of God is like that. It's not just a letter. It is alive. It'll be there for you when the whole world seems to be turning upside down, and the things that, you know, like in the song, The Anchor Holds, you see things slip through your fingers that you want to clutch and hold on, and you don't want them to go away. You just think, no, God, you can't, not that. You know, I want that. I really want that. But as it slips through your fingers, then there's that word, that alive word that comes and says, I'm not going to ever put more on you than you can bear. I'll always make a way of escape. All things are going to work together for good. No matter what comes your way, I'm going to make it work. If you'll just trust me and believe that, you know, the Lord can do that. His word. Oh, it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It's just awesome what the Word of God can do. And I know one time, I don't guess you mind me sharing this, Rhonda, but you had somebody had tried to share with you about something about life after life after life, reincarnation. And you told me, you called me and you said, but I know what the Word of God says. It says that there's appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment. I thought, all right, listen to her go. And then another thing I want to say about Jor Bells in a minute, but I'm going to hush and let, I don't want to talk all y'all's time away.
Well, you're supposed to be the speaker, so I was kind of hoping that you would come back a little bit and share know, more detail as to some of the struggles that you went through, but I can understand, you know, you don't want to give testimonial things, but, you know, one of the things that I can remember was there was different times to where, well, like, for instance, on the farm, I remember one time that you were trying to really ask for something different from God, you know, that you were wanting, you know, something special, and it was sort of like a fleece that you put out before God. And we lived out in a house up on a mountain, up on a hill, and it was kind of spooky out there at times.
Yeah.
And I remember that old house, you could walk around in a circle from room to room to room, and there was a heavy door on the front, there was a heavy door on the back. And I can remember hearing the back door open and shut. And then I heard the other door that going into the kitchen open and shut. This was like early in the morning. And then there was a long pause, and then I heard the front door open and shut. And, you know, you had that instant happen there where you felt the hand that was, you know, mashing on your throat that time. And then that, you know, the bug got in bed with you. So, you know, there's certain things that, because at that time we didn't have anyone to really follow. We had moved away from the denomination that we had known for years and years. And, you know, you had scripture, but you didn't really have a church, you know, at the place in there. Can you kind of share what that was that you went through during that time and what it was you were asking for?
Well, I believe that all of these things are what are just a part of the path. There's a scripture in Acts 26:16. This is what the word came to Paul. He said, "Rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose." See, there was a purpose in all of those things. We had to learn. We had to know that there are powers. There are satanic powers, just like Halloween coming. There are real satanic powers. Later on, when we went to Nashville, we got in a hotbed of all kinds of things like that. But the Lord said, "I have brought you through to this for a purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen and of these things which that will appear unto thee." So what I'm saying about that is all of these things come into our life to educate us at what to be a faithful minister. We have to taste of certain things. We have to go through certain things. There's another story about, I'm not going to do the whole thing, but it's a story about a woman that wanted to know. She had heard some story about the process of refining silver. And she actually went to a silversmith, and we was talking to her, and he took this piece of silver, and it was held over the fire, and it had to heat up, you know, to a certain point. And he explained that in refining that silver, there's got to be enough heat that eventually all of the things that aren't supposed to be there will melt away. And he said he knows it's complete when he can see his reflection in the silver. And this is the way I feel like those experiences were for all of us. It educated us. It taught us what to believe and what not to believe, that God was all-powerful. I remember that one incident where I felt like there was some type of satanic oppression. And I remember saying in my mind that very night, I said, "Satan, God whipped you at Calvary, and he'll do it again in Jesus' name." And it left. And that was good experience for me. I wouldn't want to do it again, but it was good.
It was good, too, because the fact, you know, I was always really sensitive to things like that, and then the fact that I heard doors actually open, I'm sure it could have been something just passed through a wall or something, but it made us aware together, you know, during that time something's going on. We got another caller here. It's phone number 7574. You're on the air.
Hello, this is Rocky from Mississippi. I go to church with your mom.
You
allow me?
Hey, hi.
Hey, sister. I just want to tell you that you got a wonderful mother there. She's really taught me a lot. She tells me a lot every day, talking to her and learning the Word of God. It's so powerful to her.
Brother Rocky is helping me in the clubhouse that I told you about. he's also a security guard and where he works. And but he had been through so many situations in his life. He'd been in an orphanage and been in just some really heart-rending situations. But there was a lady that had witnessed to him. Sister Passon, tell us about that, Brother Rocky, how that happened.
Well, I was out doing drugs one day, and I was with some friends that was actually her grandkids. And I went over there, and I was hurt. My grandfather, he was a Pentecostal preacher, but I was went to Baptist churches. And we went over there one day, and I was real hungry. And his grandmother had cooked a bunch of food for us. And she knew we'd been drinking and doing our drugs and stuff. And she said, "Do you know God?" I said, "Yeah, I know God. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior?" I said, "No, I didn't know." And she started reading the Word of the Bible to me. And she asked me, "Did I know there's only one God?" And I said, "No, there's three gods." She said, "No." And she started reading the scripture in the Bible, and she showed it to me. And she said, "Why don't you come to church? You stay here, but you have to be at church." And I said, "Okay." So I started living there and going to church. I was smoking real heavy. And one night I had went to church, and I said, I was sitting in the back, and I was like, something just touched me. I said, "What is this?" And so I walked up front, and I started praying, and I received the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I had a pack of cigarettes in my pocket, and I got in the car, and she just asked me, "What do you think, Rocky?" And I tore that cigarette and threw it back the window. I said, "I'm living for God from now on."
That is beautiful, and he has been such a great help to me at the clubhouse and the children. They said, "We respect Brother Rocky," and he comes up there and ministers, gives his testimony, and helps me just all kinds of ways. And we really appreciate you, Brother Rocky.
Well, I appreciate you every day.
Thanks for calling in tonight. We really appreciate that. Looks like we have another caller with her hand up again. I think there's Joy on 3058. If Carla can get her turned on there.
When Joy gets on the phone, I want. She had told me last year had a little bout with the flu, seemed like I was down for over a month, and she had talked to me about writing a book. She's written a book, and I have so enjoyed this. I did it last year, and I really haven't totally completed it, but it's called A Woolly Worm, and I remember telling somebody about it, and they yawned and said, "Well, hope it's more interesting than the title." But the main point in starting this whole testimony and the whole walk with God and the path that we walk is to become real. I think I was the most confused. I don't know how anyone could have been more confused and more fake. I hid behind so many masks that I was afraid that for anybody to know how I was, to know, anybody to tell anything on me. It was a cesspool. And little by little, as you work the opposition, you live for God, and you let the opposition come to you. But it's like the pressure on a diamond. It's not to hurt you. It's to make you shine, to make you be able to reflect His glory. And in this, so becoming real, is one of the, put it in a nutshell, of what God is doing to us from day to day. And the woolly worm starts out. He can't help it. He's just a worm. He's just crawling around on the ground. But in the process of time, he becomes a beautiful golden-hooded moth. And in other species, some of the most beautiful butterflies that you've ever seen. So we have so much hope and so much to look forward to. But a lot of things are according to our perception. There was a farmer was driving along the road with a load of fertilizer, and a little boy was playing in front of his house, and he said, "What you got in that truck?" And fertilizer, the farmer replied, and he said, "What are you going to do with it?" asked the little boy, and he said, "I'm going to put it on the strawberries, answered the farmer. The little boy said, "You all live here. We put sugar and cream on ours." So it was a different perception. The little boy perceived that the farmer was going to eat the strawberries. The farmer perceived that the little boy was referring what he
was literally going to do with it. And so every situation we come into, every church, every job we get, everything, literally everything, God is so patiently allowing our perception to become real. And again, back to C.S. Lewis, if you take your perception, my perception, and align it with the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, from the tabernacle plan through the entire Israelite nation to right now, to everything that we read in the paper, if you put it, then allow your perception to be, to look through the lens of God's eyes, and then comes truth, comes absolute truth, and there is a truth, but it's not according to man's perception or his history of his life. It has to be according to the Word of God.
Yeah, I remember we were really looking for churches during that time, too, that, you know, we ended up going to Brush Arbors, Tent Revivals, and we ran across some of the things that you can understand why people, you know, run when they hear the word Pentecost. And from some
and
of the things
that
we went to. Yeah. But, you know, one of the things that you didn't mention in detail was how we ended up to BB was that Sister Joanne Meredith, who was, I think she's kin to Joyce Trimble, she decided that she was going to have her first baby at home. And she used a midwife from Mississippi, which is funny, that's where you're at now. And then there was complications, and she knew Brother Steele at BB. And so that was our first, or your first, introduction to the BB church was there, in which a great miracle took place. And that was what opened the door for us to be there. So, you know, you can look back now and see how everything fell into place. But, you know, I think that's part of what, you know, where the Bible talks about knocking and seeking and searching after him. He does open doors, and we don't realize it at the time, you know, what's in place. And I think we can get Joy Bells back on here. There's some kind of static coming in with her phone, so.
It's not just hers, I think it's...
What I have to say is that I thought somebody had their phone on speakerphone, because I'm hearing that too. You want me to hang up and call back in and see if I can get a better connection?
Well, there's a lot of echo and static when your phone's turned. I don't know what it is, but we're down to the last 2 or 3 minutes, so I don't think it's that much of a distraction. Did you have anything else you wanted to share, Joy Bell?
Nope, sorry. I did a minute ago, but now I'm just blank as can be.
Yeah, we're going to miss Joy all next month. She's going to be doing her book. I do want to go ahead and mention that next week the show is going to be on the topic of Halloween. You know, if anybody has any information as to what the history is of Halloween, I know as a kid I read a lot of the scary books and the movies and things, and I was talking to Blog Talk Mom earlier on, you know, is this really an evil day, or is this something that people made up to have fun with? You know, what does it really mean? Curious if this is something that people of faith, that they should really not even acknowledge at all because of what it stands for. You know, is this really an evil day to where there's demons and spirits and things that have more power to, you know, do more things on that day? And then if anyone's got any stories to tell, I hate to call them ghost stories or haunted house stories and stuff, but if, you know, there is, you know, evil out there, and people have had some interesting things happen, and so we want to give them a chance to share those next week. So if anybody can look up and kind of give us some history on what they have found out about Halloween as far as what it stands for and what it means, that would be really good. And Blog Talk Mom, I want to thank you again for sharing your testimony with us and being here to help us. And I hope you can kind of do a little homework and help us on our topic next week to see what this is and kind of be an expert, older witness to kind of help us go through. And then the next weekend, we're going to try to get another testimony on. I'm not sure who it's going to be yet. We got a couple of people we've asked, and they've not committed. So I just want to thank everyone again for calling in. Hope you all have a blessed night. And does anyone else have anything to say? If anyone's got their hand raised, you can go ahead and turn their mics on and let them speak there. So.
Thank you, Fred, to everybody.
What about you, Joy Bells?
She hung up.
Like she went in and hung up. She was awful quiet tonight, Carla.
There she is. Sorry. There you are.
I tried to call back in.
I'm sorry.
It sounds like somebody's got their phone on speakerphone, so it's making everybody echo.
I don't have it on. I don't know if it's popping and cracking. You know, you can hear a lot of that tonight, but I don't know. I hope it's not my phone.
I think part of it's the system. They're trying to encourage us to go into a pay system. I think they're at a lot. But I do want to thank everyone that called in and look forward to next week. Thanks again, Joy, for coming in here and helping us again.
I enjoyed it.
All right, well, I want to say goodnight to everybody, and we'll be back next Tuesday night at 9 o'clock. Y'all have a blessed night.
God bless you. Bye-bye.